Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Ha, it will be in a second. Being the cumbersome, blundersome idiot that I am, I hung up on David Slack just then. He'll be delighted with that. How very, very polite and courteous of me. If you've made that mistake in the past, you'll be able to feel my embarrassment and shame. And if you've not made that mistake, then I'm sure you'll be sitting there gloating, cocky and confident and looking down your nose at me, thinking, idiot. Idiot, you'd be thinking. That's what you'd be thinking, wouldn't you, David?
Yo.
Idiot, you were thinking. Radio idiot. Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Slack.
It's a pretty slick operation you got there, bro.
Tell you what, it is. This is what comes with years and years of experience. Anyway, bro. Hey, great. Good day to be talking about politics.
Yeah.
What a day.
Not much going on lately. Do you want to press on?
Yep. Shall we press on? Let's obviously go with the story, which is somehow has just really revved up in the last couple of days because of lies. Lie. You can't. We're only less than 100 days away from 90 something days away from the election now. There's no room for lies.
Yeah. None at all. We're talking about Todd Barclay, of course, the young man who left a promising career in tobacco lobbying to become an MP.
Can I stop you right there? Because that's the first point I wanted to make about this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I've met people that work in tobacco lobbying. I've had good friends that have done it.
Yeah.
And that it's a shadow that haunts them for the rest of their life.
Oh, it's true. And look.
How old is he now? 27, is he?
Something like that.
So he was a tobacco lobbyist in his early 20s. That's pretty much when they hit them. But yeah. I mean, so he learned some good techniques there. We've got a situation here. I'm not going to say like Mike Sabin, because that's a different situation, but it's another situation. Where how did this guy even get to a position where he could get shunted into the parliament?
It's a really good question. And I work in communications, and just anybody who does, sooner or later you get a call from the tobacco people saying, would you like to come in over here? We'll pay you fabulous money. And you just say no, because you think, I couldn't do that. I really couldn't do that. And yet, some people have, and two of them are MPs. Well, yes, two of them currently are MPs. And I just question the whole life direction of people who have brought themselves into Parliament under those circumstances. And when he was asked about it, Todd Barclay, he said he went into the tobacco gig to get the experience he needed.
To be fair, the two guys that I knew who both had done it did it for that reason. Even you know, they were weary when they went in, but they there's still something there's still a question to be asked about. So the guy from the tobacco industry straight in there at that age.
Yeah, straight away.
Was he even a young Nat?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. It wouldn't surprise me if he had, because the thing that strikes you about his response is you can see that he was fashioning an entire career. And the whole idea that you want to be a politician as a career, as opposed to doing something substantial in your life and then saying, I think I could do some good here as a politician, I think is an interesting contrast that we've arrived at. You know, you look at this whole National Party apparatus, and it seems to have this idea that this is just an extension of business and an extension of business career. And I think we're looking for people who are more than that. I think we're looking for people who have an understanding of the community they live in, the society they live in, and the good that one another that we can do one another if the right leadership arrives to say, hey, this is a better way to do things. You've got these ambitious middle managers, and I think that we are really poorly served by that sort of diminished capacity of MPs we now have.
Is it not partly the system, or not the system, but our choice of how, you know, how we decide our government's made up to blame? Because to become a politician in this country, you have to spend a lot of time convincing strangers who have never met you before that you're so much better than the other person who you don't even really know anyway yourself, you know?
Well, and here's an interesting story you read about Norman Kirk in the biography of him a couple of years ago, that he would spend something like seven or eight different places in a day, just when he was leader of opposition, just flogging away, telling people his argument about what ought to be done, and just talking again and again to bring people around. In other words, wearing out the shoe leather, getting into a meeting of it might be 10 people, might be 30, might be 200, and just talking along with them, hearing their criticism. And he would often go to the people who liked him least, were interested in him least, because he wanted to test his ideas. He would see, well, does this thing stand up? I think it stands up, but maybe the Employers' Federation won't. I'll go there, I'll try it out with them. And so he just tested and tested his policy, and along the way, he brought people with him to open them to fresh thinking. Now, that is a kind of politics that I think we would be way better served by, but it's one that's disappeared.
It's very much anti the PR world, isn't it? Because it offers itself up for criticism. Constantly, and it's sort of that's the thing that's I was talking to someone yesterday about. You know, my obvious bias towards it. Well, I'm not so biased towards Labor so much. More just I'm not international at all. Yeah. And a lot of it is because this habit they have of trying to deflect questions. It's like, you know, there's one thing, even speaking to Phil Goff every week we do now as the mayor. You know, there's a guy, you ask a question, and maybe, you know, it can be a long one, but he gives you an answer that's related to the question that at least is focused on what you asked him.
Yeah,
you know,
you're
which
right.
Is, and
I've got to tell you, actually, for the longest time, I was a little jaded about Phil Goff for that very reason you're describing, that I thought he was too inclined to just give you the spin, the bullet, the talking points, and little else. But actually, he, as mayor, is really impressive with his knowledge of detail and his capacity to say, given a particular problem, here's a way forward that we're going to do.
Yeah, well, here's what I think, and here's why I think
detail,
it. Yeah.
You know?
Here's what I think, and here's why I think it. You know, which I think is really interesting. Whereas you've got, the Prime Minister saying, "I don't really remember." It's like how do we all remember then?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you know. I mean, yeah. Seriously, though, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. You know? this guy, he has this farmer tendency. You'll meet it a little bit, where they act as though they're very pleased to see you, very interested to hear from you, but they always have this amused look on their face, a particular kind of farmer, and Bill English has it too, which is essentially, I'm politely listening to you, but Jesus, what a dickhead you are.
But get a haircut.
You know? I think because you will, if you see him in a given room of people that he considers his people of accomplishment and caliber that are on the same wavelength as him, he tends to be more expansive and frank. But also, and this is the interesting thing, he tends to be quite disparaging of people who don't take his view. And it gives the lie to his affable sort of persona that says he's, you know, interested in everybody. I don't think he is. And the untruths and the fudging all go together with that. You know, you don't warrant a proper answer, I'm not going to give you one. Oh, I've been found out, now I'm going to give it to you.
You know, you just remind me of when he got when somebody taped him at that National Party conference.
Well, oh, that's a point. Yeah, that's right.
Because that was a different human being again, wasn't it? Talking, you know, the whole thing stinks. And but does it stink enough to influence people's vote?
I think there is a flavour that goes with this, and
yummy.
And what's the flavour? It's something that stinks, Mikey. So you know that maybe I think it will contribute. I'm not saying it'll necessarily that it causes chaos for them, but I think it's the wrong kind of momentum for them. They, and I don't think it's any kind of help.
Yeah, I watched the news with a couple of people last night who weren't really aware of the situation, and were trying to sort of figure it out from the headlines. And luckily, the TV news did that thing of, well, I'm going to get up from behind the desk and stand over here now and explain it to you all a bit more clearly. Why do they have to stand up? Just stay where you are.
We're digressing here, but what also dismays me is, you look at the language that's used on 6 o'clock news now, it treats you like a complete cretin.
That's the television, treats you like a complete cretin.
It does. Yeah, it's true.
And don't watch The Block then, for God's sake.
People are way smarter than that institution gives them credit for.
Yeah, and don't watch The Block then, whatever you do, David.
You got that right.
Because Paul is having trouble with his shelf. Will he get it made in time?
I'll need to hear that again in 2 minutes, because yeah, I don't know what trouble he's
having. We'll run you through it again, and then it's over and over and over. Hey, we'll move on from Little Toddy. Little Toddy. I mean, what's going to happen then? What happens with his seat in the House and all that?
Saying is that he won't stand again, but he actually goes on getting paid, and he sits there doing sweet FA.
Paid by you. Months. Paid by you.
Yeah, paid by you and me. That's right.
And I wonder what young guns are sitting there just champing at the bit, waiting to get in now. I wonder if that's the caliber of the young Nats. What have we got? Well, who's coming up?
Interesting thing. Actually, one more
gun lobbyist.
Michael Laws said years ago that he'd been to a young Nats party once. He said he'd never seen so many people in one room in need of a blowjob.
I'm just going to leave it right there, David. That's awesome. Thank you very much. Lovely to talk to you, David Slack.
Cheers, man.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.